And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Dave, remember the slogan, "We report, you decide"? Or the other one, "Fair and balanced"? Same guy said it. Same ad writer came up with it. Same Fox News promoted it. "We report, you decide." What if what they report, they know, is false? How are you supposed to decide?
Well, that's the big thing, that it's all misleading.
How about lying?
Lying, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I'm asking this because of their latest admission this past week in the Dominion lawsuit against Fox News, $1.6 billion lawsuit that said that Fox News intentionally lied about the 2020 elections and they knew better. They did it knowing that they were lying, right? That's the suit.
Well, that's the suit. Fox right. didn't admit it. They got caught.
They didn't admit it, but we have now affidavits from Dominion quoting the Fox executives, quoting the Fox anchor people, quoting the Fox commentators, right?
Yeah, this is what discovery does when you find yourself in a lawsuit. All the things that they say on the air are not under oath, not under penalty, not under sanctions. But when you get into court, as Donald Trump's lawyers have found out, and as Carrie Lake's lawyers have found out, and as people like Sidney Powell and Rudy Giuliani have found out, it's a different ballgame. It's a different ballgame. The problem, of course, is that the audience that is there for these misstatements and lies doesn't really seem to care about it. The great line from Frank Luntz, who is the guru of messaging, is that people seek affirmation, not information. So they will believe the lies rather than the truth because they want to believe the lies, because they believe the lies are the truth.
That may be true, but nonetheless, there is such a thing as truth. In any given situation, there is truth. And we ought to insist that the truth be out there and not just gloss over it. I mean, what we're talking about here is Tucker Carlson writes to Sean Hannity, this is crazy. We can't allow people to say that the elections were honestly done and Biden really won. Newsmax is going to kill us. Right?
Well, that's the overriding, what people believe to be the overriding motive of Fox News in not telling the truth.
Right.
That what they found out was, first of all, you remember on election night, the Fox News polling team, the people that analyzed these things, called Arizona for Joe Biden. And that immediately created a firestorm. People started turning off Fox, and it destroyed the plan of Donald Trump to declare victory there and then worry about the consequences later. Now, of course, he did declare victory eventually, but with Arizona called for Biden, that created a big problem for the true believers there. And the consequence of that afterwards was that Fox started losing viewership. And that's what had them panicked. I mean, it appears that at one point, Rupert Murdoch wanted his big three, so to speak, Hannity and Carlson and Laura Ingraham, to go out there on a joint show and say, no, Biden was elected legitimately. And they pulled back from that. They wouldn't do that because they didn't want Newsmax or OAN or whoever came up to continue to cut into their share of viewership. So actually, it's a twofold problem. One is the messenger, and secondly, it's the people receiving the message who don't want to get a different message.
That may be true.
And of course, that stems from the fact that they've been getting bad messages for a couple decades, since Rush Limbaugh.
Okay. But the fact is that the people who say, "We report, you decide," have set themselves a standard. You're imagining that what they say is, "We report what actually happened. You decide about it." If the people who undertake the mission of reporting decide to report falsely, why should they have a license?
Well, yeah, that's the other thing. And, of course, cable has different standards than the regular networks do. And I'm not sure what the sanctions are in regard to that. I mean, you've got worse than Fox out there. I just mentioned a couple, OAN and Newsmax.
But I mean, if you lie, what's the difference how bad the lie is? How can it be worse? One guy may be more effective. He presents the lie more effectively. I suppose that's worse. But objectively, they're both lies. Or all three are lies. Or all four are lies. Or however many liars you have out there lying. It's lies. It's not just misrepresenting the facts. It's a lie. You know you're lying. You know you're making up something that's not true. You're putting it out there.
Right.
You're doing it for your own private profit.
Yeah. And of course, we had this before because Tucker Carlson got sued. And he got out of the suit because the Fox lawyers argued that he should not be taken literally as telling the truth, that it's all opinion.
Right.
And people should, are free to agree or to disagree with that opinion.
Right. Well, he might be right. I might even agree with that. But Fox News is not all opinion. Fox News is supposed to be no opinion. That's the point. You decide. We give you a fair and balanced report. You decide. It's not opinion. That's what they claim. They lied. They lied. They lied about themselves, and they lie about the world. And they do it continuously. And their defense now against Dominion and their lawsuit is that Dominion shouldn't be able to get $1.6 billion because they couldn't have sustained such a loss. They're not worth that much money. But that's like throwing in the towel. That's an argument for mitigating the damage.
Exactly. You took the words out of my mouth. That's a damages argument. we get back to, remember what I say, the old dog bite cases that lawyers get? I don't have the dog. It wasn't my dog. My dog doesn't bite. My dog bit. It was your fault, and bite really isn't so bad anyway.
And you weren't bitten.
That's it.
Right. Exactly. Right. And that brings me to telling the truth, brings me to the distinction that the MAGA people make between themselves and what Trump calls rhinos, Republicans in name only. And which for years now, for all of the Trump period, we've been hearing, if only we could get back to the real Republican Party, the adult party.
The party of Reagan and Bush.
The party of Reagan and Bush, that's right, where we have the good old days. And I'm thinking to myself, what good old days are people who mention this talking about? What the hell do they mean? And just now, this fellow Mark Tyson, who's now an opinion columnist for the Washington Post, but who in his younger days was Bush's speechwriter, which means he was Bush's ideologue, because, right, the speechwriter formulates the ideas, and those are the thing that formulation is what people know about. Compassionate conservative. Believe me, Bush didn't come up with that phrase. I don't know if Mark Tyson did, but somebody like Mark Tyson did, right?
Right.
So here's Mark Tyson, a dyed-in-the-wool rhino, as Trump would have it, promoting a guy named Mitch Daniels, who used to be the governor of Indiana, and who
before that, wasn't he the director of budget, OMB or something like that?
He may have been.
Congressman?
Yeah. Anyway, he was his latest job was he was the governor of Indiana, and he was thinking of running again, right?
Well, his latest job was he was the president of Purdue University.
Okay, fair enough. But as his public job.
Right.
His public job. He was a governor, and now he's thinking of running, I think, for senator. And after thinking about it for and testing the waters, he decided he wouldn't do it. And Tyson is saying, Jesus, if the Republicans can't produce candidates like Mitch Daniels, they're lost. This is terrible, because Mitch Daniels is the kind of guy Republicans need, that this is the guy that's going to transform the party to make it appealing to people. So, and now he tells you what it is that Mitch Daniels believes and what he did that makes him such a good candidate. This is what he did as governor. He ended collective bargaining for state employees. He privatized the Indiana road system. He established the largest payment school choice program, in other words, anti-public school program in the country. He created a private alternative to Medicaid. He implemented the biggest tax cut to the rich in Indiana history. He rejected vaccine mandates. He rejected COVID lockdowns. He replaced full-time workers in the university lunchrooms with underpaid part-time students, and froze tuition at the university for 10 years, meaning that they had no way to cope with inflation. That is a responsible Republican. Now, I mean, if the average person knows that, can he possibly or she possibly imagine that this is good for him or her? This is an anti-worker, anti-family, anti-poor, anti-everything that makes up 90% of the American population program in favor of corporations and the very rich. That's what these guys claim is a responsible Republican Party. It's unbelievable. We got to get to we should talk turkey about this instead of just talking about responsible Republicans. The responsible Republicans are dreadful.
Yeah, I mean, you've got this, you know, not just in Indiana. By the way, the alternative to Mitch Daniels for the Republicans is this Congressman Jim Banks. Is it Jim Banks?
Yeah, Jim Banks,
who's a MAGA guy. But you've got it in other states. You know, in 2024, you've got it in Florida with Rick Scott.
Oh, Scott. Why is Scott not in jail? Rick Scott was the CEO, not the president, the CEO of HCA, the largest healthcare company in America. Although that's not what HCA stands for, but that's what it is. They are the largest Medicaid contractor. When he was the CEO, they incurred in the year 2000, a fine of $870 million. And two years later, 2002, another fine of $800 million, something like $1.6 billion in fines for cheating the Medicaid program, the taxpayers. He was forced out, so he ran for Senate and he enters the Senate. Why was he not indicted and put in jail instead of at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, or wherever the hell the address is?
Yeah, that's the White House.
That's the White House, right.
Congress.
Down the street.
Down the street. But, you know, well, we're getting back to the...
And now he's telling us that Medicaid is an entitlement.
Oh, yeah. You know, you're getting back to the failure of the Democratic Party in Florida. He beat a sitting senator, Bill Nelson, who's the head of NASA. But this time... he seems to have touched the third rail of politics, and his own party has taken him to task. Mitch McConnell pointed out that Rick Scott's out there on a limb.
Rick Scott also ran against Mitch McConnell, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. So there's a personal animosity, but Mitch is more than happy to cut the limb off.
Yeah.
And over the Social Security, and Scott said, "Well, I'm not going to cut Social Security," but what his program was that every program in America sunsets after 5 years and then has to be refunded and repassed.
And plus, if you don't cut Social Security, you can't get the result that he wants. You can't eliminate the debt. if you don't cut Social Security and Medicaid and Medicare. Right. It's just not possible unless you cut the defense budget by about 80%.
Right. And they're, you know, what the Republicans are desperately trying to do is to take this issue off the table. And it's up to the Democrats not to take it off the table and not only point to the individual current candidates, but to go through the whole history of the fact that it's the Republican Party going back to the 1930s that opposed Social Security. In the 60s, they opposed Medicare, and they've continued to oppose those things.
And Medicaid.
And Medicaid, which, by the way, is what keeps a lot of the rural hospitals alive.
And by the way, the biggest users of the Medicaid, the biggest people covered by Medicaid, the biggest groups are young white kids and old white former workers. That's the vast bulk of the people who benefit from Medicaid. So, but of course, that's not what they say. They say it's drug dealers, black drug dealers and Mexican immigrants.
Yeah, the welfare state.
The welfare queens.
But of course, it's mostly, so you go down to these red states, and they're the ones that get all the money
And not enough money, because frankly, Medicaid reimbursement rates are so low that, you know, many good doctors will refuse to be enrolled in the program because they can't make a living on it.
Right.
So it's the appearance of health care without the reality of health care. You could have a Medicaid, you could be eligible for Medicaid. Nobody will treat you. You won't find anybody to treat you.
And that's a very real problem. That's a very real problem.
And Nikki Haley is against Medicaid, Medicare. When she was governor, she said it ought to be ended. Another responsible Republican. Well, you know who's not for ending it? With Donald Trump.
Yeah. That was the one thing. Trump really was not a traditional Republican in that sense. He always said we got to protect Medicare and Social Security. But of course, you know, as president, who knows if that came to his desk, what he would do?
Well, you know what he would do. He would do what the last corporate guy who spoke to him told him to do. You can bet your bottom dollars he would sunset it and explain that he wasn't really doing it.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Of course, that's the propaganda. You're back to Fox News doing that stuff.
Yeah, Fox News would tell you he didn't do it. Just like some of these conspiracy people say, well, he's Trump really the president right now. The guy who's in the White House is just a fraud, and he doesn't really have the seal of office, and Trump is really in control of the army. They believe that.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, you know that fascism does have a populist streak. It needs it, because the point of fascism is to corral the working class in support of a corporate program and to prevent the left from organizing the working class. And to do that, they got to give workers something. The Nazis had a phenomenally good healthcare program for Aryans. The healthcare program for everybody else was extermination.
It was death.
Yeah. You had no headache problems once you were gassed.
Yes. They had that, but they're nothing but consistent, you know, and dogged, and as I keep saying, you know, thinking long term, and they know how to package things, and they know how to divert people's attention from things, we keep getting into this mess where the Democrats really have a hard time getting anything passed when they're able to get back into power. And, it's going to be tough in 2024 because there's 23 or 24 Democrats up and only 10 Republicans. And the Republicans are all in fairly safe seats, except maybe Rick Scott now. Democrats have a problem in West Virginia. You know, as much as Joe Manchin is not your liberal Democrat, he is probably the only Democrat that can win that state. And depending on who the Republicans put up against him, he may be gone. Montana is another state that Democrats have a difficulty, and as trended more Republican over the years, John Tester may be the only Democrat right now that can win in that state. He hasn't announced whether he's running. California is a fairly safe place, but Dianne Feinstein announced she isn't going to run again.
But how can she continue to stay? She's going to be there two more years. How can that be?
Well, that's a question. That's a question. She's been hanging on. And there's going to be at least three or four Democrats running to replace her, and they're all in Congress. So you're going to lose at least three of them from Congress.
That's because they can't run for both.
Right. And there's Adam Schiff and Katie Porter and Ro Khanna's talking about it, and Barbara Lee is talking about it.
I think Barbara Lee already announced.
Yeah, and she's in her 70s, which is, in this environment, not the best way to be. You know, age has been one of those things that keeps coming up.
Yeah, age does keep coming up unless you end it all.
Yeah. You know, they keep talking about Biden. Of course, Biden had a physical this week. Did pretty well with it. If it hadn't gone well, you would have heard a lot more.
Well, you heard from Ronnie, whatever the hell his name is, who's now a congressman, Ronnie Jackson, who was Trump's phony doctor, who said the Biden medical exam was a cover-up. How the hell did he know? He didn't examine Biden.
Well, the Trump exam was a cover-up.
That's true. Trump wrote the report himself.
Yeah, it was nonspecific. It said he's the healthiest man ever to serve in the presidency, and he could live to be 200.
Right.
Do you remember that?
I do. Right.
Right. Right. Biblical proportions.
Well, that's the way it is. I mean, Trump is the greatest president who ever existed, ever served, did more for the country, blah, 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 blah. I thought to myself, Jesus, didn't Washington do something for the country? I don't know.
Well, but Trump, you know, Washington was a general. Trump knows more than the generals. Remember
well, that's
that?
That's a point. Yes, that's a good point.
That's a point. Yeah. And then we got Mike Pence, who wants to run, who used to be a more traditional Republican, as you in the Mitch Daniels mold.
Yeah, God forbid.
And but he doesn't want to honor a subpoena.
Well, that's in the Trump mold too.
That's true. He doesn't want a subpoena to talk about what happened on January 6th. Now, he's a witness to a crime, maybe a witness to several crimes, all right? Probably a witness to several crimes. He's now hiding behind, he's trying to figure out a reason not to do this. Of course, he's willing to talk about things to sell his books or on interviews, but he's not willing to go under oath to talk about what happened and his conversations with the president. Now, there are privileges, but they only extend to your actual performance in a function and making policy. And there's always the crime exception. If Donald Trump said something that asked him to do a criminal act, that should be brought out. That should not be protected. But Pence is trying to run out the clock. He's going to. There's going to have to be litigation. And
do you think Pence has a chance of getting the nomination?
No. No way. No. I mean, those people, those MAGA people that were yelling, "Hang Mike Pence."
Yeah, they're still around, right?
He's delusional in this. So are a bunch of others, but they're going to try anyway. Mike Pompeo is another one in that category. Meanwhile, you know, in Pennsylvania, we've got some, we've got political things happening. The new governor announced that he is not going to sign any death penalty warrants and asked the legislature to do away with the death penalty. He's doing that early on. Which kind of takes it off the table 4 years from now when he's running again, or if he decides to run for president somewhere down the line. And we have our two senators who were hospitalized this week. Bob Casey had prostate surgery. He apparently came out fine. The doctors are saying there's no further treatment needed. He's already been outside after that. He's going to have to take it easy for a while. And John Fetterman continues to have health-related problems this time in mental health issues.
The Fetterman case is interesting because, remember Eagleton?
Yeah.
Exactly the same condition, depression. And he got forced off the ticket.
He got forced off the ticket. But there were, it was a different time and a different way, and people didn't speak about mental health issues in those days. And he hid his.
Right.
Didn't he have shock therapy or something like that?
He had some kind of therapy, probably shock. That was the big thing. That's what they used in those days.
But people thought that Fetterman's performance in the debate after the stroke, his physical performance was terrible. But it didn't seem to hurt him. People looked at him and said, look, this guy is being honest with us, and he's fighting through it.
Yeah.
And he can still function. So we're not going to hold it against him. Plus, of course, you had the dynamics of that particular election. Now, this thing, if you see pictures of him lately, it's clear that he lost a lot of weight. Apparently, his wife isn't with him the whole time. She's back home in Braddock. He's not eating well. He just hasn't been taking care of himself like he should be. And, he wound up in the hospital for this, but he's getting a lot of kudos for doing that, for being open and above board and not trying to hide it.
Well, I hope he recovers quickly. I don't know if you do recover quickly. My guess is you don't. But, a senator doesn't have to do much. Yeah. His staff does a lot.
Understood, but still he goes to committee meetings and he has...
No, he's not going to go to committee meetings. He's going to stay in the hospital.
Yeah. He's, I think it's too early to speculate about his term, but he's a family guy, and his wife is a key part of his whole being, I think he needs to have her around more. So we'll have to see what happens. But, the Congress is only there midweeks now. They go back on Monday and they go home on Friday.
Right.
But, of course, when you go home, that's when you have to do...
That's when you work. But look, he doesn't have to politic. He's got at least a year of to rest up and collect himself. Yeah. And he'll have five more years then to politic.
Yeah. And luckily, this is early in the term.
Yeah.
And then we still have that incident, we talk about government or whatever out there on the Pennsylvania-Ohio border over there in Ohio.
Well, that was caused by the drive for maximum profit. That was a train that was a mile and a quarter long or a mile and three quarters long and had two people working it. Two. That's unbelievable, right? And filled with toxic chemicals.
And not modernized as to their braking system.
That's exactly right. Because the Trump administration canceled the rule that said they had to upgrade their braking system, and the company, without regulation, said, oh, fine, terrific, we'll use the money to give ourselves a bonus. And they paid all their stockholders bonuses and stock buybacks and dividends to the tune of $200 million instead of creating a safe railroad. That's what modern capitalism does.
Yeah, and of course, then there's all the social costs of the pollution.
Which the company's not going to pay for.
They're going to try to get out of, I'll tell you
exactly,
that.
Exactly. Well, we have to get out of the show. We're done for this week.
Yeah, it's President's Day weekend.
Mazel tov.
Well, yeah. Yeah, and we're actually honoring supposedly Washington's birthday weekend. Down south, they still honored in places Jefferson Davis as president and things, but we're not going to honor him. And
we're not honoring traitors? All right, fair enough.
His statue used to be in Congress, if I'm not mistaken. I think when I was there one day in Statuary Hall, I saw it. I think they've removed it now from the Mississippi part, but... things die very very slowly back.
Well, especially when your defenders stay in power.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. We'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.